Hey everybody, welcome back to Bannerbox, a review podcast run by the team here at Mad Artists. Each week we'll be breaking down a different production, whether it's a movie, TV show, whatever we're feeling like,
and whatever this week,
we watched Neil Breen's Twisted Pair. My name is Danielle. As you can hear, I'm sick, and this is going to be a bit of a crusty episode. But here are the other mad artists that I have with me.
The other episodes.
So yes, the other episodes sitting here at the table. We've got Highlander over here. We've got Twisted
OG.
We got Twisted. Well, starting from my left.
As always, it is Samuel.
It's me, Tyler.
It's your boy, Russell. What? Fake out.
He's back, guys.
My first podcast.
And not just sitting in the
room. Your first podcast ever.
This is my first ever podcast.
My first podcast back, and I do Neil Breen's Twisted Pair. Can we say winner?
But we can say you're welcome.
Thank you.
Well, Tyler, you put this in the hat. Why did you do this?
Okay.
What a question.
All right, listen. All right. So, when I put this in the hat, I thought, you know what? First of all, I was asked to put two things in the hat, originally. And I put Vanilla Ice's Cool as Ice, and I put, what was it? Clad Atlas,
yes.
Right? Those are the two I put in the hat, right? One funny, one serious. And this was way back in like November of 2021, right? And so time has passed, and so you put a little bit more in the hat, right? So I was like, I'll put another silly one and another serious one in there, right? I put Twisted Pair, right? Because I'm still new to the fold, so I'm still getting the hang of everything, and I'm like, you know, Twisted Pair, it's this Neil Breen film, it's supposed to be so bad it's good, not a whole lot of people talk about it, so nobody will know what this is. So, dude, this is gonna be perfect, and we'll watch it together. Well, it'll make for good
content,
where everyone will come in, and no one will have any idea what's going on, and we're gonna watch it, and we'll experience it together, and we can all react as a family.
Can I say?
And then we watched it.
Wrong.
Exactly what I wanted.
I was about to say, it was not exactly what you wanted.
I was going to say, it was definitely a lot different than I expected.
Because Tyler experienced a lot of anxiety during most of this movie.
Well, it was awful because, as soon as everyone found out that I didn't see the movie before I put it in the
hat, I was the only one who knew anything about it because I've at least seen, like, a video by, like, a YouTuber about it. And so I knew enough. And I knew the plot. And I was like, okay, so I know what's happening. So, like, when that really uncomfortable scene came up, I, like, typed it out on my phone to Sam Marie and was like, just so you know, it's not actually what it looks like. It's a weird fake out. Just, like, deal with it. Which she appreciated. But, like, I'm sitting there trying to help people understand what's happening in this movie, and people keep asking Tyler, and he's like, dude, I don't know.
I don't know
what's happening.
Well, because here's the thing, right? This movie definitely isn't really like what I expected, and I got really nervous and really anxious because I'm like, I have this concept, I think this concept's gonna be a lot of fun, I can't wait to explore it with you guys. And then when the reaction and the backlash was that of like, I don't know if this is a good idea, Tyler, then I start second guessing it, and I'm just like, I'm sitting here watching this movie.
People are making jokes, just saying like, do we have to watch the whole thing? Can we just, like, stop it and watch something else?
And I'm sitting here just like, yes, like, we don't have to watch, we don't have to finish this.
Well, I think the one who was mostly saying, do we have to watch it, was Tyler. Because a couple of times I was like, we can stop this. And I was in there like, no! We're not gonna stop.
No,
if
Samuel,
we're in for a penny, we are in for a pound.
Yeah, Samuel and Brett were both like, we're in too deep, guys. We can't, like,
Brett
this
was
is
entranced.
It.
Entranced.
Entranced.
Yeah, you know, like English.
Send you to the trench.
I'm not even gonna.
The trench. That's my trench gun.
Well, so for those of us who had not seen it, which was everybody, what were you experiencing when this came on the screen?
You know, I said to myself, I just had a very, very long night at work. My legs are exhausted. I've been running all night. I get home and I make a nice dish full of delicious spicy noodles. I have a cherry cola by my side. And I say to myself, I'm going to have a great night. I'm going to enjoy myself. I'm going to watch a movie that's good. And instead what happens is...
Did you not know?
I had an idea, but okay. I had absolutely no concept. I knew how deep in I was as soon as like 5 minutes before we started it. Danielle looks over with a huge smile on her face and says, by the way, this movie is like 80% stock footage.
Oh, that wasn't even me. I think that was like Sam Marie. That was Tyler.
Okay. Well, somebody. And I was just like, oh no. And then as soon as I saw that first shot with the eagle, man, that's when I knew. I was like, this is going to be very, very bad.
We all know what Tyler's experience was with this because he was just suffering for most of the movie. He was like, we can turn it off, guys.
Here's the thing. Like, I didn't have a bad time. I loved it. It was very fun for me to like sit down and watch the movie. And when I realized I asked, easing into like, hey guys, we don't have to do this. But when everyone was like, no, we're watching this, I was like, okay, so if we're in and let's watch
We were like, we are not going to stop. This is not a Dr. Doolittle situation where we're even considering stopping the movie before it's over. We will take in every ounce of Neil Breen that we can.
And that's the thing, right? Is the funniest thing about this movie is the effect that it had on us. That it started...
You immediately dropped an F-bomb, Danielle.
I'm sorry. I don't have a voice. I get to do what I want. Deal with it.
Yeah, audience, deal with it.
Yeah, audience.
No, I mean to Samuel. He gets to deal with it.
Yeah, Samuel. No. So, like, the cool thing about this... The cool thing about this is, like, that we go in watching it, and then we come out, right? And when we came out of watching this... It's kind of like we went through the many stages of grief, right? Yeah. Right?
Yeah.
Because we're sitting here so shocked, so upset. Hold on. Oh, no. This sucks. Well, never mind.
Wow. Did you not find the stages of grief?
I couldn't, and now I have. So, like, we were in denial that what happened happened. Right? We're just like, I don't believe we actually watched a movie that bad. And then Russell got mad at me for making him watch it. Right? There was a lot of anger. Right? And then we started bargaining with each other about, like, you know,
it was mostly Tyler bargaining with all of us. Like, we can stop watching it.
Then everyone got really depressed that the movie was over. And then
we were all in a weird state. After the movie ended, like, all of our brains were, like, shattered.
And then we all accepted Neil Breen into our life.
Correct.
Into our hearts. And I think that's kind of beautiful.
I'm not going to lie to you. The aftermath of, like, how it felt to finish this movie was almost therapeutic in, like, how intensely I felt like I had just witnessed greatness that humans were not meant to see.
Yes. It was like watching an eldritch being. It was. Right? Where it's like my brain can't comprehend that this thing exists. It was you're looking at this like an eldritch being where it's like my brain can't comprehend what it is and why it is and who put this here. And I feel like I'm going insane just as a result. It's like seeing a color that doesn't exist. You're like my brain.
Yeah, you mean The Color Out of Space by H.P. Lovecraft?
Yes. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah.
Yeah, it like...
It's just like that. I really hope the audio picks up just the distant in the background. Tyler doesn't read.
Tyler doesn't read. No, but all jokes aside, I had a great time with my friends watching this movie because I was hanging out with my friends. If I had... to watch this movie by myself for the podcast.
As John did.
And he didn't even come!
It's so ironic that for Twisted Pair, like, it's the one time I feel like he's ever slept in.
Plot twist, that's actually why he didn't show up.
Because he was so disgusted with the movie.
Because he had such a terrible time. Oh, I forgot. That wasn't actually me being me. I totally just forgot to bring you a napkin.
But I had a great time watching this movie with my friends, and honestly... If you can get a big group together and you're just down for some wild, crazy nonsense and you just like want to laugh at something as a group that you can all unanimously not enjoy while enjoying it, this is the film for you.
Yes.
I will say, so fans of our sister podcast, let me tell you why. Oh, that's very nice. They know that today, actually, the day of recording this, I'm celebrating 1 month sober.
Yay!
Of everything.
Wee.
Lego. And I will say, watching the, I've had a couple of stumbling blocks. I've had a couple of moments where it's like, oh god, I really want to relapse, right? Watching this movie was one of them. Because watching this sober is probably nowhere near as much as watching this.
But that's the crazy thing, yes. Though, is that you feel like you're on drugs watching this, and then after you finish it.
Yes.
Like, you feel like you're high, and then the movie ends, and it feels like you're coming down.
Yes.
Like, from a high. And it takes a while. It took us all, like, an hour to fully come down from the Neil Breen high that we were on.
And that's really special, right?
Like, and that's the thing, is we're not joking.
Like, that's real.
Like, this isn't, like, this isn't a gag. This isn't a bit that we're doing. Like, we all honestly, like, sat there on a weird come down and, like, were paralyzed for, like, 30 or 45 minutes where we couldn't
the
move.
The energy in that room was weird.
Russell was literally not joking. Like, I don't know what to do now.
Yes.
Like, what do I do? Do I just go upstairs and go about my life? Like, that seems wrong.
It's funny because it's not too dissimilar from my reaction to Midnight Mass, right? Where it's like, after watching it, I'm like, what do I do with my life now? Like, what do I do?
Two equally powerful forms of cinema.
Twisted when you really think about it, Twisted Pair and Midnight Mass, it's kind of the same effect, right? It's the same thing.
Oh, we got to get both Mike Flanagan and Neil Breen on the same episode and battle it out.
I feel like Mike Flanagan would be here for that.
Honestly, I think
that would be the most niche podcast that has ever been recorded.
Challenge accepted.
I don't think any artistic work that we would ever do would top that experience.
Honestly, I don't think it would.
We would peak very quickly.
No, for me, my experience was I didn't have a voice. As you can hear, I barely have one, but I didn't have one at all. And I'm sitting there trying to, like, communicate with people and, like, comment on things through just typing on my phone. And I knew at least the vibe of this movie. I knew certain beats of the movie. So when other people were like, I don't know, oh, I just realized I totally wrote his name wrong in my breakdown. I wrote Neil Green.
Neil Green? Neil Bean?
Yeah, Neil Bean, Neil Green. No,
Cornelius F. Breen?
Cornelius F. Breen!
Breen!
No, but...
Cornelius F. Breen?
No, but this experience was wild for me because as I'm watching, I'm having just such a wonderful time. Also trying to figure out what is stock footage and what isn't, because sometimes it's not that obvious. Yes, like with a computer lab, thought it was stock, but then he's sitting at the computer and it's like,
wait, hold on.
He just shot it like stock footage.
Yes.
Like, I half expected when I went into his, like, biography to find out that he was a stock footage, like, filmographer.
How funny would that be?
Oh my god.
If he was an actual stock footage, like, film.
So, like, a whole bunch of that stock footage Neil Breen actually filmed. So he's, like, using his own footage, but in, like, a meta way. Like, he's using his own footage license free.
Oh my god, that would be so funny.
Oh my god. Well, Samuel, what about you? What happened?
Ditto. Like, honestly, what's been said has been said. I had a little bit of an idea of what was coming into it because Danielle had talked to me about it because she'd seen that YouTube video. And, I mean, yeah, it was pure
chaos.
Yeah, I mean, so I pulled up a game on my phone, just like a little, like, fruit, whatever.
Ninja.
Yeah.
Fruit Ninja. Fruit Ninja.
A little Candy Crush game to play on my phone because I could not, if I devoted my full attention to it, I knew I was going to go insane. After, like the first 5 minutes of the movie, I was all like, okay, all right, hang on.
And that's the thing, is we all went insane.
Yes, we all
devoting
did.
Devoting our full energy
we
to
did.
It
we
and lost our minds.
We looked the monster right in its eyes.
We looked Cthulhu in his face and went insane. And Samuel was the smart one who was like, I'm going to devote about half my brain to it so that I can be... So afterwards...
I mean, I'd say I devoted more than half. I probably devoted like 80% of my brain to it.
Yeah.
I mean, I was paying pretty close attention.
So he's 20% sane.
Yeah.
20% more sane.
Neil Breen is Cthulhu confirmed?
Confirmed. Oh, he is an eldritch being.
Dude, if we ever made, like, movies, that would be so cool. To make, like to make a Lovecraftian monster and the big reveal is it's just Neil Breen the entire time.
The suit, like, opens up in the last 5 minutes of the film and Neil Breen just walks out.
Oh my god, you can't tell me that wouldn't be amazing.
It would be amazing to, like, 10 people who would get the joke. And then everybody else would just be like, who is this random guy?
Yeah, but that's the kind of art I want to make.
Wow.
Is the kind of art that nobody gets.
Inaccessible.
And that's what happens when a joke doesn't land. That's his art form.
Thanks for joining us on the podcast.
No, but this movie came out in 2018. It was obviously directed and written by Neil Breen.
I thought it was much older than that this whole time. Until, like, the end of the movie when we pulled up on YouTube.
But no. The funny... yeah. Well, it also stars Neil Breen as Cade and Kale Altair. And Sarah Merritt as Alana. You can purchase it for a very expensive price on Prime Video, Vudu, Apple TV, YouTube, or Google Play.
Or you can just YouTube it. It's on there for free. But I don't know how long that's going
to
last.
I was about to say, now that you've said it on the podcast, it's not going to be up for long.
Well, yes, because the FBI listens to this podcast.
Yes, they do, actively. Right.
Sorry,
I've gotten
FBI.
Emails. The IMDb summary for this says, identical twin brothers become hybrid AI, artificial intelligence entities, yet torn in different directions to achieve justice for humanity.
That's a stretch.
Yeah.
Already that's a stretch.
Well, that's apparently what happened.
This movie is so special.
Is that they weren't born AI, they were turned into AI.
What?
Yes.
What?
That's what happened.
No,
that's
it's not.
So difficult to understand.
I know.
That's not what happened.
This is Neil Breen.
That's not what happened.
No, Samuel, tell us about Neil Breen.
So, your boy Neil Breen.
The little wilted it, your boy.
Your boy.
Honestly, does not have much information about him, except for the fact that he wanted to be a filmmaker from a very, very early age.
He's an enigma.
But he didn't go to school for it. He didn't do anything about wanting to be a filmmaker. Instead, he said, I'm going to make a bunch of money so that I can then make films on my own terms.
And honestly, I got to kind of respect
You have to respect
him.
Oh,
because
so
the fact
on,
that he's like, I don't need to go to school. I've got it. I know how to make a
Why
movie.
Why would I need to go to school?
I can write the movie. I can star in the movie.
The art was inside of me all along.
So this man spent the first 30 years of his life as an architect. In L.A., making a crap ton of money, which he then used to start making his films when he was in his early 50s.
And we're very proud of him.
And here we are.
I mean, that confirms, his age gaps between all of his leading ladies are, like, 30 years.
And he produces, directs, writes, and stars in every single one of his films.
Yep.
And, in his films, he almost always plays either a superhuman character or a messianic character.
What is that?
Messianic word? Being a messiah.
Like a chosen one.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow. Okay.
Yep.
Wow.
In every single one.
And that's the information I have on Neil Breen.
So much. He just decides he wants to be the main character.
He just wants to be the main character.
He wants to be Buddha. He wants to be Jesus.
He wants to be Spider-Man. He's AI. Like, and I'm going to do it.
Artificial intelligence.
Here we go. I am Vision.
I'm so happy.
Who am I?
I'm so happy that Neil Breen exists. I'm so happy that Neil Breen exists.
God, it's so much.
Well, now we gotta watch his entire filmography until we lose our minds.
We gotta do
we
to
have
Neil
to
Breen what we did to Star Wars.
Oh my
Every
God.
Other podcast is more.
No.
More! I will say there is one of his movies that I've also seen a video on that might be even wilder than this one.
Is that even possible?
And we need to watch it. It's called Fateful Findings, and we have to watch
Fateful
it.
Fateful Findings.
Yes.
Oh my
It's
gosh.
Another he's a superhero movie, and
Sign
it's amazing.
Me up.
So, are there any more overarching things y'all want to talk about before I tell you what happened in this movie? Actually, first off, I want to hear, because we did this right after we watched, so I want to hear what you guys think happened in this movie.
I have no idea. I will openly admit I have no clue what happened in this movie, beyond the fact that he fought some bad guys and that his wife was actually evil.
Okay.
That's all I know.
So, Tyler and Russell, what do you think happened in this movie?
I actually feel like I have a semi-coherent thing.
I mean, I just shocked everybody with being like, by the way, they were humans first, yes, not AI.
That, well, I did not see coming.
Well, no. It's the hybrid part that got me. So what I think happened was AI, artificial intelligence.
Programmable digital universe.
Digital.
This
matter.
Is really serious, is my favorite line of the movie. My favorite part.
So, what I think happened is Kate and Kale, twin brothers, were regular, normal people, and then got captured or kidnapped by the government, like, and were experimented on and turned into the Chosen Ones, right? The Messiahs, messianic characters. And one of them became evil from the experiments, the other became a good guy. And then they used him to thwart evil throughout the world, and so the movie opens proper after a lot of narration,
long exposition.
It opens with a shot of him working together with the military, leading the charge. Right, get behind me. Let me go in front. Let me go
in
front.
They can't hurt me.
And. Oh, just the same explosions?
The same explosion sound effect for the whole movie.
So he establishes himself as awesome, and then he meets this random girl by a homeless guy and is trying to talk to her.
That
she's not feeling
guy's
him.
Beanie.
And then he sneaks into her house and, like, pretends to, like, sexually assault her, but she's into it. But you find out it was a big role play the whole time. And they're actually lovers. And so...
Respectable.
Right. Hey.
We're not
each their own.
Here.
Hey, go with God, right? So then you find out that AI, artificial intelligence, digital, programmable matter, is a problem. And the bad guys have it. And Homeland Security is ready. That was one of the lines. That was John's favorite line. Was just the one guy going, Homeland Security is ready. And just this movie's amazing. So they're discussing what they're gonna do. Then they send in their operative, your boy, to go in and deal with the enemy company and figure that out. But then, unrelated to that, is the Maverick twin brother, Kale, who goes
Kate
in.
Kate is the good guy. Kale is the bad guy.
So Kale goes in and he wants to get his own justice, but he's a maverick, so he's going around killing the corporate executives from the evil company. And then Cade, like, makes some headway with the company and starts messing people up, and he destroys the same building, like, four times. And like, as he, like, saves the day, the evil company gets, like, taken down. And then he meets up with his brother, and they're just like, yeah, we're different. And then they go their separate ways, and then his wife, his girlfriend, Cade, was a splinter agent for the bad guys the whole time, and then they shoot each other. But he doesn't die because he's invincible, and then he goes into the metaverse, sees his wife one last time, and then they leave.
Neil Breen predicted the metaverse.
And that's what I think happened.
Well, actually, he didn't if it was in 2018.
Was the metaverse a thing?
I think it was like a super early thing, yes.
Oh, I wish he predicted it.
Oh, well, Tyler, here's where you're wrong.
Yes.
What actually happened was they were both born, they were both human.
Okay.
Well, I'm going to go with my initial thoughts right after watching the movie and not with Danielle's little change-up.
Okay, with my
correction. Yes. I thought they were created first as robots, like robot twin brothers, who were designed to, like, take on this, like,
humanity.
Artificial, intelligent, like, biomass, like, mechanical, whatever. And so I thought they became humans, but what actually happens is Kale dies.
Kale dies?
Cade thinks that Kale dies.
Okay.
That was the thing.
Okay.
And then, so on and so forth, whatever. Everything else you said was right. Except that Kale Cade thought that Kale died. The good brother thought the bad brother died.
Okay.
But that wasn't the case. He was actually still alive, and later he finds him, and he's just like, oh, it's you. And then he's like, what are we doing? Why are we like this? And then that scene happened, like, I swear, 3 times, where they, like, looked at each other. And
they weren't looking at each other, though.
Well, of course
never,
not.
Because, never
because,
once.
Because it was just Neil Breen. Because, right. Because there was one shot of Neil Breen with no facial hair facing to the left, and one shot of Neil Breen with facial hair facing to the right.
Facial hair taped on.
And that was them facing each
He's
other.
Taped on facial hair.
They were looking completely past each other. It was amazing.
Oh my God.
Well, would you like to find out what actually happened?
No.
I think I would, Daniel.
Okay. Yes.
During their youth, Cade and his identical twin brother Kale were abducted by an unknown power and modified to become humanoids, secret agents who are out to stop evil. What? Kale didn't fit in with the program and was fired.
Oh, he was fired from
what? I thought he died!
Wait, is this just Hunchback of Notre Dame?
And Kale is Quasimodo.
Fired!
Yes, he was fired! Cade, as an adult, is introduced on a mission where he is protecting troops. He returns to headquarters and meets with his boss, who suggests that he take a vacation. Cade laments not having seen his brother since before he became a humanoid. Kale meets...
This is so stilted and awkward.
Oh my God!
It makes it so confusing, the fact they're called humanoids.
Yes, it does.
It's so stupid! Alright.
Kale meets with a lawyer, an executive, and the president of the bank, and interrogates them for a while before he shoots one of them in the leg and leaves to do pills with his girlfriend, Donna.
Wow. The explanation of the plot as it actually occurs is so much worse than just 3 people in a room. Well, I guess 4 people.
And leaves to do pills.
Trying to, like, explain
Donna.
It.
Cade's boss tells him about programmable virtual reality and how a man named Kuz is going to use it to conduct the biggest cyber and terror attack ever. Cade decides...
Which they say so many times.
Oh my
like five
God.
Or six different times in the movie, they're like, this is the biggest cyber attack ever.
That's right. They did say that.
And don't you forget it.
Cade decides to investigate, but while investigating around town, he bumps into Alana. He offers to buy her a drink to apologize, but she says she's very busy and leaves. Cade attempts to make a date with the woman before she departs. She doesn't come back, but later he sees her and decides to follow her home. Cade breaks into her house and they fight before they abruptly stop fighting, revealing that they'd been in a relationship the whole time.
And no one was surprised.
God.
The... I can't say the word, but the like the ADR where he just like
oh yeah,
where he just hits him with the. I want to say it's so
bad. I mean,
bad.
You can say that word.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, that's like a PG-13 word.
Okay. Well, but like at like during the fight, there is this terrible cut. Well, I mean every single cut of ADR in this movie is awful, but there is another
because also
terrible...
their mouths aren't moving most of the time.
I know,
and
like it's
just put
awkward.
Over like their faces.
But there's a terrible like ADR cut, and all of a sudden you just hear Neil Breen's voice superimposed over the crackly audio of the actual room, and he's just like, "Bitch," just like that,
it's just like that.
Like,
well, honestly, and that was kind of cute to me because as it was happening.
It was cute. It was adorable.
No, it was cute because I typed it out to the Sams on either side of me, but I was like, he has clearly never said that word before, and this is the first time he's ever said that word. Because it sounds so
I don't know.
Foreign.
I think that's just how he delivered all his lines.
That's a very strong point.
No, that it just reminded me of, like, high schoolers when they're given, when they get into college and they're given their first scene with the F word in it. And they're like, they don't know how to, like, deliver it convincingly. So they overemphasize it way too much. Like, that's what it reminded me of. And I was like, I feel like he does not know how to say this word convincingly.
Well, it also just shows how much Neil Breen is... just doing this to kind of please himself, right? Like, you can't tell, like, he's hiring these decently attractive women that are just, like, in love with him, and he casts himself as multiple characters so that he can get more than one girlfriend on scene. And
that's
you
true.
Can just tell, like, you can look at these women who are, like, look, I'm getting paid money to do this, but like, I know what's going on. You're not grabbing my ass. We're not gonna have some crazy sex scene. It's not gonna be like that, Neil.
My contract says 2 kisses. That's what you
mean. We're recording this on a college campus. We're not doing this, Neil. And so, like, you could just tell that that's the vibe.
Two
and he's
kisses
just,
is my hard limit.
And yes. You could tell Neil's just like, ah, that's okay. But we are dating in the movie.
He goes home and he's like, bitch.
Right. Because he's just servicing his fantasy. That's why he put himself in the movie. And for him,
Tyler admires him, because he's like, bro, that's kind of like super clever, though.
Yeah, this man knows something we don't. God knows I'm sleazy enough to definitely do an entire movie shoot just so that I can pretend to be somebody's boyfriend.
Dude, if anything, your career...
At Kate Siegel.
Your career, your career for acting is derivative of Neil Breen's vision.
I think a lot of my career in acting is derivative muscle.
I mean, that's every career in acting.
You gotta star. Like, you can't be the star, but you can be a big character in Neil Breen's next film, I'm sure.
I don't think anything would be more satisfying with my life. I think that would be the mountaintop. All of the great things that I have done and will do in the future.
You're in the Twisted Pair sequel that is apparently coming.
Oh my god.
I know, but it's very funny that you mentioned that you thought it was cute for that specific reason, because he like over like emphasized it. Because there is... have you guys ever seen the movie Wanted with James McAvoy?
Mm-mm. I don't think so.
Okay, well...
Is that The Curve of the Bullet?
Yes.
Yes, a long time ago.
Morgan Freeman... is in that movie, and I swear I've never heard him say mother effer before. Never. Never. And he says it in that movie, and it has that exact same energy of just like, is this the first time he's ever used that? Because it sounds terrible.
It sounds foreign.
It sounds awful. But anyway, I just had to mention that because you said it, and I was like, oh my gosh.
Well, let's continue with this story. So, Cade breaks into a Coos lab to find clues for his mission. You're welcome for Frosty. In the rest of this episode, he'll be giving his opinions for several minutes and possibly the rest of the episode. Wait, what do you have to say, bud?
Can we not bring him inside?
That'll be worse, because then he knows they're right there.
Well, I guess if like we bring him in like inside, like not in the... not in the garage.
Inside. Yeah, inside side.
As opposed to what, Sam?
I hate all of you.
That's like what I used to Tipso and Gizmo at my parents' house. I would be like, you want to go outside and put them outside. That's literally what you just did. Okay. Frosty is inside side now. So yes, Cade breaks into a Coos lab to find clues for his mission. See what I said? What did I say? He has thoughts.
He's just breathing.
He doesn't want me to keep going.
It's the voices.
You keep saying a coup.
No, Coos
Lab.
Oh, Coos, I thought you were saying that's the Coos Lab, and
no,
I'm just like, what is
you,
the Samurai Jack?
You
want to
know how
Jack?
Coos is spelled? Guess how Coos is spelled.
C-U-Z.
C-O-U-P-S.
Samuel, how do you think
it's spelled? I saw it, so I can't.
Oh, okay. It's C-U-Z-Z-X.
Come on.
And that's his name.
Come on, Neil Breen.
Come on, Neil.
You're better than that, Neil Breen.
Oh my god.
Anyway,
he's got to make it like an alien spelling.
We don't deserve him. I'm telling you, we don't deserve him.
Well, Cade finds four guys wearing VR goggles who are in some kind of trance, and in the next room of
That's what that was?
Yes.
And goodness.
And in the next room, a very old person dressed like Coos meeting with people, so they didn't like swap actors. It was someone pretending to be Coos.
This movie. Oh
it's
God.
So heady. Like, you can't be this heady with a plot this convoluted and difficult to understand.
Of course you can.
No, you can't. You can't.
He is one of the great old ones. He can do what he pleases. Yes.
We need to remake Twisted Pair.
I'm calling it now. My God. What if we just...
Tell me we couldn't. It would be the easiest thing in the world.
We absolutely could.
Well, then we should.
Oh, all right, we're doing it next week.
Guys, if you want to see us remake Twisted Pair, like, comment, and subscribe right now. Leave a like wherever you are. We love you. Will you marry me?
Send us a message or an email saying, please remake Twisted Pair.
If we receive a single email...
we will remake Twisted Pair.
It might only be 10 minutes long,
but we will rededicate our lives to the Twisted Pair.
It might only be 10 minutes long, but we'll do it. Post on YouTube.
Well, the men disappear due to the programmable virtual reality, and Cade reports back to his boss. Cade takes Alana, his girlfriend, out to dinner, and a mysterious man stabs Cade's homeless friend, taking his cell phone. Meanwhile,
he stabs him in the block of wood in his pants.
In the leg.
I thought it was his phone, and I was like, oh, look at his phone. And then they stabbed into it, and I was like, oh, it wasn't his phone.
Like, stab him in the leg. Like, how? I mean, you know, you can kill someone by stabbing them in the leg, but why did you choose the leg? It's so much easier to just do like a pantomime, like, you know, like prison shank sort of scenario.
Or just get a prop shagger. It's so easy.
It's not the vision that Neil Breen had.
He had to use a real knife.
He really likes watching people bleed out rather than die quickly.
But he's afraid of blood, so he doesn't put any of that in there. Blood.
You'll be dead soon.
Your suffering's gonna
bam! Shoots him in the legs. He's shooting off their legs. I just don't get it. Like,
you're gonna be suffering for a long time. Bam! It'll be over soon.
Well, meanwhile, Kale tracks down and murders a rich executive, but the police find no evidence because Kale picked up the shell casings. He did, however, drop a syringe.
He picks up the shell casings and drops an entire bloody syringe.
Yeah, it was an accident.
You know.
It's the best.
You know how you carry your empty syringes around?
You can't say that Neil Breen writes Mary and Gary Stews because he accidentally dropped the syringe. See, he's balancing his characters, guys. This is art.
I'm proud of you. Well, Cade pretends to be a rich investor who wants to give money to the Kuz Empire, which gets him a tour of Kuz's house with, like, the fairy lady who's just, there.
Just a random fairy, like, it felt like WWE. Right, where they have the girls holding the signs.
And they're like dressed all like the craziest outfits. Oh my gosh, that's so funny. I am still convinced that the actor who played Donna and the fairy were the same woman.
I think they were.
I can't unsee it.
I don't think they were.
I can't unsee it. Like, every time that girl came on screen, I was like, is that Donna? Is she also like working with Kuz? Okay, I almost said K's.
Kuz. No, he can't have the same vowel. He can have the same starting letter, but not the same vowel.
Yeah.
Russell, it can't be the same.
He loves
vowel.
That K.
Nope, different actors.
I was about to say, because I found her, I found Fairy Girl on Twitter.
You did?
Yeah, because her name was like Ava Masters. Ada Masters. And I found her on Twitter, and I was like, yep, that's her.
And what'd you say your phone number was?
You don't get it.
555.
5555.
Single, 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 single.
The number you have called is not in service.
No, the way she just like randomly appeared and never talked was insane to me.
Yeah.
What
point did she have?
It kind of cringed me out. So when she like disappears at the end, she turns into those diamonds. So the whole time he's like fondling the diamonds in a bowl. Are those other fairies?
So he's like, oh my gosh.
He's fondling his other fairies.
Wow. This is the most powerful and effective villain I've ever seen written, ever.
He makes a hateable character, right?
Yeah. Well, how does he talk? How does he talk?
He's got the deep voice, the modulator on his voice, and it... Because of course he does.
But the ADR is still really bad.
Not doing anything. Just bad ADR.
Oh my god. Oh god. Beautiful. So funny. Well, Donna, Kale's pillhead girlfriend, breaks up with him and then runs into Cade, I feel like a totally different actor. The two Donnas.
It didn't say anything about it.
No, because there's Donna that does the whole, like, I'm done. We're done. I'm done with you.
Gets pushed off the bed?
Yes, and then there's the other one that runs up to Cade, where he's like, I never had a beard and all that.
It was the same actress according to IMDb.
Like, okay, that had to be filmed months ago because she was blonde in one shot and a brunette in another shot.
No, it was probably just because the lighting was really terrible in one of the shots, and then the lighting was slightly better in the other shot.
Listen, guys, Neil could only afford one light, okay? So it was one light and then the natural light from the college campus that they didn't pay to be on.
42. There you go.
I love the universe where we all get in a heated argument about Neil Breen's work, and it's like the most intense argument we've ever had, like, as a group before, because of this movie.
I want Neil Breen to see this episode really bad. Can we send this to him on Twitter?
No.
Great. Next topic.
I had to take the Neil Breen pause, where you have to sit and think and wait for the cue card person to walk around to the other side to hold up the cue card for your line. And you have to take a 10-second pause for that, but it's not going to be cut out.
Who am I? What am I?
Where he's having to switch.
The guy's swapping the cue card.
That's what I was telling to both Samuel and Sam Marie in the group, like, conference room scenes. When they're in the conference room, I was like, it's literally the person having to walk around so that the other people can see the new cue card.
Oh my god. Because they weren't real actors. He found them on the college campus. They were professors.
Oh my
god. And students.
Yes.
They had to have been.
Well,
God.
She breaks up with him and runs into Cade, demanding to know where she can get more drugs and why he shaved his beard. Cade responds by going, I never had a beard.
I never had a beard.
He gives the girl some money to find. Yes.
No, it's just very funny that, like, that's what he chooses to say. He could have said anything. Like, he could have just been like,
it's like, lady, I don't know who you are.
Because he easily could have just said, hey, don't be freaked out. I have a twin brother. It's no surprise that you're recognizing me, but I want to let you know I don't know who you are. Also, let's take you to rehab because you shouldn't be doing drugs. Instead, he says,
I never had a beard.
He's like aggressive and he keeps repeating it over and over and over and over.
And they end up like fighting because she's like wrestling with him and he's like, get off me, bro.
So strange.
No, but he gives the girl some money to find a place to stay, and they hug. Alana sees and gets jealous in the longest jealousy shot I've ever seen.
Wait, dude, is that what made her go bad?
No. She's a sleeper agent from the beginning.
Are we sure about this?
I'm pretty sure.
Oh, we're going to find out in just a second.
We're going to find out.
Dude, ladies love Cornelius, man. I don't know what to tell you.
Cornelius F. Breen.
Cornelius F. Breen.
What a man.
Well,
I want to be him when I grow up.
Cade then decides to take down the Coos Empire and goes into... Oh, wow, my voice just stopped. And goes into the boiler room to enact his plan. I know, it literally just, like, my voice just stopped. I was like, wow, okay.
Wow, voice, okay.
It happened in my voice lesson yesterday. Like, my voice just, like, cracked, and I was like, yep, I'm sorry. Mm. This is what you're getting today.
Oops. I didn't ask to be born.
Sorry.
I didn't ask to be born.
After his empire is destroyed, Coos flees the country.
All right.
Cade.
Bye. Bye, Coos.
Cade goes home and Alana pulls a gun on him as she was working for Coos the whole time.
The whole time.
Bum, bum, bum.
They shoot each other and Alana dies in his arms. In the virtual reality forest, Cade and Alana reunite.
Really a horrible plan from Alana, considering the fact that she knows that he can survive a gunshot and be fine.
Yeah, honestly.
Virtual reality forest? Come on.
That's what it's called, is the virtual reality.
I know that, you know that, they know that, but the virtual reality...
It's just Pandora.
Virtual reality forest? That's... Come on. Come on. That like almost invalidates deeper things I thought were going on with this movie, and now I'm even more upset. This movie just lost points.
It went from a 10 to an 8.
You hear that, Neil? Look at what you did.
It went from a 9 to an 8.9.
Russell doesn't appreciate you, Neil, but I do.
Well, they reunite, they embrace, and Alana tells him she loves him and then disappears. The film ends.
How special.
The film ends with Cade addressing the audience, accepting the loss of Alana, and stating that humanity will eventually live in a virtual universe. Before the credits, the message, Cade Altair will return appears on screen.
That was probably one of my favorite parts of the movie.
Why? Because it was over?
No. Because he's setting up for something greater. It's going to be the Twisted Pair cinematic universe. And he sees what's happening with Marvel. He sees what DC's attempting to do. He knows it's the hot thing. He's jumping on the trend.
Well,
he's
it's now he's part a visionary. Of what I read in a review as the BCU.
Yes.
The Blaine Cinematic Universe.
Oh, I knew it was coming. My as soon God. As you started saying it, I was like, BC. Yes, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to jump on
such a big
there,
fan, dude. He just has so much balls just to do this
he
stuff.
He is not from this world. I'm convinced.
He's just an entity, dude. He came from outer space.
Well, that was Twisted Pair. What would you guys rename this movie if it wasn't Twisted Pair?
I could not have been less prepared if you'd asked me that question.
That's a move.
Hang on. Give me a second to think.
I would call it the corrupt version.
I'd call it AI, artificial intelligence, programmable virtual reality.
The longest title of all time.
I wouldn't put it past him.
I'm going to call it.
You mean it?
Virtual reality forest.
You won't, coward.
I'm going to call it betrayal.
Betrayal the movie.
Of the House on the Hill.
Betrayal at the House on the Hill.
I don't even know.
I know. How do you even start?
Like,
how do you even start? Like, that's why I just said betrayal, because I knew I could not come up with anything moderately intelligent.
It's okay.
I got nothing.
Wow.
I got humanoids. There we go.
There
humanoids.
We go.
We
nice.
Got there.
So this is something
that's a callback.
A little bit
this
of narrative edging for you guys.
I've never thrown in before, but I was so enthralled by this that when I went on Amazon to, like, get the reviews and stuff, I went on Prime Video.
Of course.
And it showed customers also watched.
Oh.
And the titles in this list were amazing. So
please,
I'm going to give you some
us.
Of the titles.
Oh, my God, yes.
So some of the titles were Killing American Style from the director of Samurai Cop.
Oh, my God.
Wow, that's already a strong start.
That's a...
Something that looked
follow
like
that
an,
one, guys.
Something that looked like an animated movie akin to the, like, to the Pinocchio thing that came out called Wizard So-So. Another one that was called Dancin', It's On, and that looked like a ripoff of, like, the Peanuts characters.
Dancin', It's On.
Like, the
what?
Subtitle is It's On.
It's On? Is it truly on?
The Wicker Man, which looked like some kind of horror
movie. The Wicker Man?
The Wicker Man?
That's a Nick Cage movie.
Yes. Yeah.
It was also on
that's
this
the
list.
Well, yeah,
the
because
Wicker
that's
Man.
Also a famously bad movie.
Not the Bees!
Not the Bees!
I've never seen it, but I
if
saw
you
it,
don't
I was
know,
like, well,
now you know.
It's a famously, like, bad Hollywood movie.
Well, there you go.
You absolutely should watch it as well.
Something called Fireworms that had a disgusting poster.
Fireworms?
Yes.
Fireworms.
And my favorite, Jesus Christ Vampire Hunter.
No.
What?
That was my favorite one on the list.
Well, guess what's going like, in the hat?
Well, because I know there's, like, the Abraham Lincoln, like, Vampire Hunter.
Yeah, but that was apparently actually, like, a good movie.
This was Jesus Christ Vampire Hunter that had a picture of a guy dressed as Jesus Christ just doing, like, a slightly self-defense pose, and it was incredible.
Jesus Christo Vampire Slayer?
Yes. Well, when I went on Amazon, the general consensus by viewers is pretty good, obviously, because it's got a cult following. 79% rated it 5 stars.
Good.
Do you That's guys want so the positive awesome. Or the negative first?
Who cares?
I would love to hear the negative first, because the positive is going to be very funny, I
yes.
think.
I think you're right.
Okay. Yes. So, the negative one that I found, so I've got a couple of them here because, like, one of them is just so short, but it's absolutely hilarious. So, the first one is from Lance P. This was last year, and it's titled Twisted Delusion. If you're not sure what this is, or if you don't know what a Neil Breen is, probably better to just forget you ever found
what
this movie. If you know what a Neil Breen is, this is exactly what you think it is, and it's one of the most ambitious, weird, and unintentionally hilarious bad movies. 5 thumbs down out of 5. It's fantastic.
That's a mood.
So I've got a positive review here. So I've got two positive reviews because one of them was a drinking game. And I think it's so funny. So first off, I'll give the drinking game that Ed put first. It's Ed, it's capital Ed with like three
Ed.
D's.
Capital Ed?
Yes. Ed. With three Ed. D's. Ed. And this is from 2020. It's titled "A Cinematic Ed. Masterpiece and an Excellent Addition to the BCU." Drinking game rules. Every time you see a nipple. Every time you see blood, well, what? Like male nipples, because like he like constantly had that.
I did not notice.
Every time you see blood, every time someone dies, you must take a drink in their honor. Every time a drink is spilled or thrown, Cade says, "I miss my brother. Take a drink." I never had a beard. Take a drink. Whenever there is a candle. For every super jump, take a drink.
Super jump. It's a great way to describe it.
That's a really good way to put
every
it.
Every time AI is mentioned, oh, every no. time you see the same shot twice.
You're gonna have alcohol poisoning.
You would be absolutely tanked by the end of this movie.
Dude.
So this was the actual crazy. Positive review that I pulled that was just... Sorry, I forgot the hilarious negative review. So this is from Jerry Coddington, and it's titled "My Wife Is Still Missing ... And the review is
what is going on?
The review is "My wife bought this movie. We are now divorced. Neil Breen destroyed my marriage. 1 star." And that killed me. Oh my god.
Oh my god.
My wife is still missing.
Okay, so this one's a long one.
So confused.
So I probably won't read the whole thing, but it's amazing. So this is from James French. Reveals the truth about Neil Breen. I have been experiencing Neil Breen's stuff for a few years now, and it is clear that he is something special. Not good, mind you. Breen is
not
nothing
good, special.
But his films manage to be more than simply so bad they're good. They are so terrible they are transcendent. The sheer number of baffling decisions overwhelms the viewer until they are left in a space where they question the very concept of a movie. In Twisted Pair,
he's transcendent. Not wrong.
Oh my god, my voice stopped again. In Twisted Pair, Breen does not disappoint. He has learned something about green screen effects, though he employs them in a way that would result in the expulsion of any first-year video production editor who did the same things. He occasionally displays dramatic range in his acting, with the effect of being terrifying instead of merely creepy. Breen knows that film editing involves putting footage together, but he does not realize that the segments need to be trimmed to remove long pauses. This last point brings me to the real gem hidden in this movie. It reveals to the world that Neil Breen is, in fact, an AI. This is fact wrapped in fiction. Now we understand the reason his films always seem to have been made by some unearthly intelligence that has heard of the concept of movies but never seen one.
Oh the my word, god!
The word salad dialogue, the stock footage, the royalty-free music, it all makes sense now. Twisted Pair was made by an alien robot posing as a middle-aged man from Las Vegas. Not to be missed if... Not to be missed if just hard misses of the filmic art are your thing. 5 stars.
I didn't hear a single thing that was wrong.
What the heck?
He is an AI.
This movie just creates a weird, like, vibe. Like, everybody catches on it. Like, it's so hard to describe. Like, it's hypnotic, bro.
This movie, honestly... Every time Callie casts Hypnotic Pattern, it has to be Twisted Pair.
They're just
playing.
Watching Twisted Pair.
Oh my god.
That is canonical to the point of I'm going to mention it every time I ever cast a spell again.
Yes.
Oh my god.
Oh my gosh. Well, so on Rotten Tomatoes, this does not... Also, hello, John. Welcome to the podcast.
Hi, John.
Hello.
We were really, really hoping that you just watched Twisted Pair for nothing.
For no reason.
I would be very upset.
Well, this doesn't have a critical score, but it does have an audience score on Rotten Tomatoes. So what do you guys think it is?
I think it's going to be like...
How do you even guess?
I think it's going to be like 85% straight up.
Audience?
Really? Oh my goodness.
Well, this is the audience score, not a critical score.
Audience score? Oh.
Where do you even start? Like, how do you even... I'm going to say, Tyler, use the Neil Breen method.
No.
There's two brothers.
Use the Breen method.
Two brothers and two girlfriends, okay? That's four, right? Times 10, because there's 10 films in the BCU.
There's not, but good try.
And this is Twisted Pair, so that's doubled. So I'm going to say 80%.
Okay.
Oh my God, Russell.
He just stole your method.
He stole my method, and he's going to get it right.
So you said 80, you said 85.
The sigh.
7.5.
I you think mean Russell. 75?
Yep. No, a 7.5. No, yeah.
Out of 100.
75, and I think Russell's right on the money.
Okay. You just think that because it's your method.
It's his method now.
I'm going to go with 66.
Well, John is closest. It's lower than y'all think. It's only 50%.
That's disappointing. We need to review bomb.
Yes.
Review bomb.
Everybody get in the comments.
But instead of making it worse, we make it better.
Yes.
And the IMDb score out of 10.
With knowing that information, I'm going to say 4.8.
Okay.
I'm going to say 3.1.
Okay.
I'm going low as heck.
I'm going to go with... No, I'm going to go with 4.4.
Okay.
You stole mine on the nose.
And that's actually... I hate whenever that happens. It's the worst.
Yeah.
You can also say 4.4.
4.3.
Price is writing him.
Well, yeah. It's Samuel that time because it's a 5.1.
No way. Should go with 6.6. How about it?
So, the budget, what's the only thing that I could really find was the amount of money that he made on Kickstarter for it, mm-hmm. which was $50,000. And I have no concept of a box office, even though it did get a theatrical release.
What?
No, what?
We could have seen this in the movie theater.
This was released in both the US and the UK in theaters.
Oh my God.
Two countries? Neil Breen, my boy! Congratulations!
Really it was two theaters.
It was only two theaters.
One in Vegas and one in London.
You know, if Neil Breen can do it, we can do it.
I'm really proud of you.
Let's
Mr.
do
Breen.
It, guys.
As soon as this movie was over, and I learned that this individual was from Las Vegas, Nevada, everything made a lot more sense.
Well, he lives in Vegas now, but he's not from Vegas.
Still.
Samuel learned all about his life. He knows where he was born. And
it
he knows where he
all
was
it said about where he grew up was the East Coast.
Neil Breen, you're just an enigma,
he's
bro.
He's like Tommy Wiseau in the sense that he's like...
yes.
No, you can't possibly begin to understand him.
He's a modern Tommy Wiseau.
And we don't need to try to understand him. Yes. He is his own entity.
We're behind.
He's gonna be my deity in Strahd.
No. Oh my God!
And he's one of the great old ones.
Please do a freaking
A Breen Domain Cleric!
Please do an anagram of Neil Breen and actually make it.
Oh.
Because that would be the most rewarding thing I could ever see happen.
The great old warlock, but it's just an
anagram of Neil Breen.
That's actually one of the funniest
concepts.
You
have to do it now. You have to
Why
change
is
your
it me?
Because you're the warlock.
Well, also, I'm late, so that's fair.
You get to do it. So there are not that many fun facts that were, like, actually interesting. I found three. So, the eagle or hawk, which is featured in the stock footage multiple times in the film, is credited as Astro Eagle. Gets credited in the final credits.
Let's go.
We saw that when we were doing the thing.
Which I appreciated.
Yep.
Neil Breen considers all of his films to be semi-autobiographical pieces.
Stop. Stop.
Is it the IMDb fun fact?
Stop.
John's face right now.
That's so absurd. You can't say that and then make this film.
This is based on real life.
It's because he's an AI. It's because he's an AI.
This guy's, it's not an AI. He's an alien.
Artificial. He's not from Earth.
He's this man.
He is a different being.
stop.
And we should all worship him.
Dude.
I want to get Neil Breen on the podcast so bad.
We have to get him on the podcast.
Like,
just because I have to attempt to understand his brain.
That's what I mean.
I just need to understand.
That's the only reason I want him on here.
They're looking at, like, Obama saying, like, Obama's a lizard.
We're going to try.
We should get, like, an interview episode of just us talking about Neil
Breen. We're seriously going to try and get him on Let Me Tell You Why. And just be like, please come and talk to us about your vision. Please talk to us.
We want to understand your brain.
So this is something we all know. Well, John, you may not know, but all of us who watch this together, we know this. But for the audience and for possibly John, multiple companies are credited in the making of this film. All companies which include a capital N or B in the name are actually fictitious. All of those positions were actually filled by writer, producer, actor, and director Neil Breen
and
himself.
And it says that in the credits. It's got, like, all these different companies credited, and then at the end of the credits, any company credited with N or B in the name are Neil Breen. Yeah.
Yes.
Neil
I Breen made company. It up.
And all is under the umbrella of Neil Breen LLC. Like, how many domains does this man own?
A lot, apparently.
What a freaking
this
legend.
This man covered his bases.
He
what
really
a freaking
did.
Legend, man. Oh my gosh.
Well, now
this man
we
is
get
Tyler's
to
new hero.
Cinema
he really
is made in the gray area, dude.
I love this him.
Well, we touched on this briefly last night.
He is my hero.
Who are we recasting as who in this?
Who's getting the coveted spot?
Who's getting the coveted spot?
Well, because someone
Neil
has to be
himself.
Someone because someone has to be Cade and someone has to be Kale.
Oh, so
oh,
we're casting them as different
it,
people?
They have to be. They have to be. There's only five
well,
characters.
Well, in that case...
He's got a point.
In that case, you're Cade, you're Kale, and you're Coos.
I'm okay with this.
John is the guy that they kept reusing as different roles that was, like,
oh, yeah.
both being killed and also on the phone as, like, a cop and
oh,
also
yeah.
in the
mustache.
Office.
Yes, clearly the mustache guy.
Yep.
That's John.
That was the cringiest part. Everyone's mustache looked... awful, except for Neil Breen's.
I mean, even
Danielle
was pretty rough.
Danielle's the fairy that's being fondled by Tyler.
Nope, she's gonna no. be the Neil. No, she's gonna be the Neil Breen role and be double casted as both of the girlfriends.
Oh, so that's how we're gonna switch it. We're
yes.
gonna have Danielle be both
so
girlfriends,
I have
but
to be
Neil
both
Breen.
Of the girlfriends, but the Neil Breen part gets split. In
gets
two.
Split into two.
Yes. That's how we're running it.
Oh my gosh.
We're doing it live.
Doing it live.
So Samuel gets
we're
to
doing
go.
It as a play.
Gets to like fight me and do drugs with me.
Oh,
are we live.
A theater play version of Twisted Pair.
Stop.
Something we can actually do.
Enough.
Hold on.
Do you think Neil Breen would actually give up the rights to it? No way.
In a heartbeat.
This is his masterpiece.
Dude, this is his autobiography.
Only if he gets to be in it.
Yeah.
This
he
is
would
his
have
autobiographical
to be
piece.
If he is in our stage show, there's no doubt what we're doing.
Because that's the thing, is he'd probably be like, I'll let you do it, but only if I am Cade and Kale and I direct it.
Danielle, we have the power to get this man on Let Me Tell You Why. And get him to come out and do this in a one-time, never-before-seen theatrical theater release in a black box theater of Twisted Pair, the live show.
Oh my goodness.
I'm just saying, bro.
Are we
just
live?
Just saying.
Yes, we are.
Yes.
Oh,
well, we had
gracious.
An example given, but let's see if we either want to make our own or pull from it. Drinking game rules.
I think we can just keep the drinking game they had. It was pretty on point.
I agree.
Well, out of what he said, what were the, like, finish your drink and shot rules? Because he was just saying take a drink with all these.
Okay. I think you definitely have to take a shot every time that he goes into the metaverse.
Oh my gosh. That's
no
a, that that's
doubt.
Not too crazy, but
no
it does
doubt.
Happen a decent
on
amount.
Cam. Yeah.
I think it happens 2 times or is it 3 times?
I don't know the actual
I think
number.
It's 3. If
but
I
yeah.
correctly.
So okay,
that,
so that's
that
the shot rule.
The
what
shot.
About the finish your drink rule? Every time Neil Breen physically fights a woman.
Yes.
There you go.
Yes.
And then drink every time the stock explosion sound goes off.
No.
No.
You'd be
yes.
trash.
No.
No, drink every time he does a super jump.
Oh,
yeah.
Say,
yeah.
Drink,
yeah,
drink on the super jump.
Okay, yeah, that's fair. That's fair. I'll just say every time they're all, he's on screen with himself.
All right, this is going to be the best moment.
That's a good finish your drink.
is every time he's off screen.
Every time he's off screen with himself. Yeah.
That is a pretty good one. Favorite and least favorite moments of Twisted Pair.
Is that even a question? Can you even answer it?
My absolute favorite moment has to be him fighting with his girlfriend and the bad 80-yard bitch. That was absolute gold. Also, my runner-up is that freaking awful slap sound effect when he's also fighting with his other girlfriend.
Oh, yeah, he goes into punches.
It's like the most, like,
slapstick.
It's the worst. It's the freaking worst.
Well, what's your least favorite then?
Oh, gosh. I think, honestly.
I know what it is. It's the eagle.
It is. The eagle shot is just so bad because it's just so slow. It takes like 3 minutes. You're just like watching it slowly land on this like log, and then Neil Breen is just like green screen and superimposed, reaching out his hand like he's trying to touch it, and it's just like, Neil Breen, I love you, buddy, but please don't include the eagle shot next time.
It's that Billy Frank meme where it's like, it's time to stop.
I have a question. Did we ever figure out what was with that random shot of the woman in the lingerie?
Oh, I thought that was other girl that Kale went to, right?
But like, it
after
never
he broke up with Donna. He went and like, I assumed she was like maybe a hooker.
Oh.
And so like, cause she opens the door and she's like, come in, and then she's like strutting towards the bed in lingerie.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure it was him, like, possibly even killing her. Like Jack the Ripper
so,
style.
My favorite my
you're just making that up.
My
no,
favorite
because later they were like there was a murder.
We gotta wrap this up. So my favorite scene was when every time the fairy was on screen and she was so obviously just bored out of her mind and did not want to be there. And then my least favorite was just the long stock footage pans. Yeah. Like the eagle, yes, but also the rest of them.
Yeah, they're just, I'm sorry, Neil, that's just inexcusable, my guy. You gotta try a little bit harder, okay? We love you, but you gotta try harder.
God, so many.
What a concept.
My favorite scene, I think, would be the, and I know this is going to sound horrible, but the fake out sexual assault, because it got it elicited such a reaction from me. You know what I mean?
Well, and
that's
see,
when I felt the most.
Well, and that's where my favorite is coming from as well. Not that scene, but
yeah, because it wasn't that. You know what I mean? It was the fact that that was a role play. And he spun it on its head. It's that aspect. It's that switch. That's my favorite part. My least favorite part is some of the parts where he just got lazy and he was just shooting. He's shooting everything outside of the college campus without even like trying. That part was tough.
John.
My favorite moment, and Tyler already knows this one because we talked about it, but. Whenever they're having that big conference room meeting, and this one guy's giving a whole monologue about this secret thing that's coming up, and then just a good minute just of silence, and then just, Homeland Security is ready! And he just throws down a gas mask for no reason. And it's just, why? Why'd you give it such a beat? It's so, the comedic timing on that was, mwah, chef's kiss.
Least favorite?
Anytime he was like in front of like a digital screen in like the scrubs, and like he's trying to sit there and act
amazing.
He's trying to sit there and act like, I'm sorry, but at least get your hand where the screen is, because he was on one scene where it was just screens here, hands here. I know you can't see, audience, and I apologize.
Wait, I thought that was part of the stock footage.
No,
that
was
person
stock footage.
In the mask was Neil Breen.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah.
This movie just keeps taking left turns, man. I just don't know what's happening.
Well, my favorite is because of the reaction that it got, because I knew it was coming, because I, like I said, I'd seen that YouTube video and I'd seen that clip in there, so I was so excited for the moment to come up because I knew everyone was gonna think that they had like had a stroke. When they're fighting and they go, we're done, we're done, we're done, and it like cuts to the same shot three times. Russell's reaction, the way he sat up in his chair, and like the way Sam Marie was like, I'm alive, right? Like, like that wasn't me dying, right? Was just a spiritual experience for me. And then my least favorite is like y'all said, just the long shots, just the length of of some shots.
It's too much. It's too much.
The out of focus, the one that was out of focus, where he was just walking across the campus in the middle of the night, and he was just like in the bottom left hand corner, and it was like focused on a tree, and you just see Neil Breen just off into the distance.
Well,
just
an excuse. Out of 10 programmable virtual realities, what would you rate Twisted Pear?
10 out of 10.
10 out of 10. Come on. Stop lying to yourself. Stop lying.
I'm gonna give it 10 out of 10. Programmable virtual.
Programmable.
Procranberial. Virtual realities.
Bladder.
John.
Don't lie to yourself. Come on. Be honest. Be real. Be clear.
I'll give it 10 out of 10 programmable hum-a-hum-a-hum-a-hum.
Let's go.
Hum-a-hum. I mean, this was just.
It kept me engaged.
It was such an odd masterpiece.
It's got great rewatchability.
Such an incredible masterpiece, and I can't wait to hopefully be able to actually speak with this man. We're going to do everything we can. Neil Breen, if you hear this, please, we want to talk with you. We have to know what's going on in your head. We just need to. This is a great one to watch, like, with friends and to just, like, have a good time and honestly break your friends' brains.
Yes.
It's amazing. Unless anyone has any final thoughts, we got to get out of here.
I think that you should watch this movie, not by yourself. Please don't do
it by
yourself.
Don't watch it by yourself.
But
don't
make that mistake. With some buddies, honestly, do our drinking
it's
game recommendations. You're going to have a good time in a bad way.
Just a reminder, you can follow us on Instagram and Facebook at Mad Artists Entertainment and on Twitter at artist_mad. My voice is done. Keep on the lookout. We are still, we don't have any auditions to announce, but we do have stuff coming up this next season that hopefully we'll be able to announce soon. Keep an eye out for Next Normal news as far as, just rehearsal stuff, when we're going to be actually performing it, which is at the beginning of March, so mark your calendars. If you have any comments, questions, corrections, or requests to review in the future, you can email bannerbox.madartists@gmail.com, or you can send us a DM on whatever social media you would like. Leave a review wherever you're listening. It helps us out a lot. Next week, we're going to be watching The Lone Ranger, which was... Yes, we are. I pulled it last night. And Samuel is just oh so excited.
I have seen this movie, and it was very, very fun.
It's a blast.
Which means that Tyler's gonna hate it. But we will see you guys next week. Bye-bye.
Goodbye. We love you, Neil Breen.